You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 12. This is where we left off. Romans 12 chapter Sunday morning. In fact, we started teaching a few weeks ago on not work, don't worry. A couple weeks ago we taught on that. Don't worry out of Matthew 6. And then from there we went and talked about stop fearful thinking. Stop that fearful thinking. Everybody say stop it. You know, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So that's your responsibility. So if there's anxiety in your mind, if there's things that are just twisting your stomach up like a knot, ever had that happen, worry, bitterness, or whatever the case may be, you can do something about it. In fact, the truth be known, you're the only one who can do something about it. Yeah. I can't do it. And honestly, God can't either until you let it go. Amen. Till you change your thinking. Till you turn the thing around. You know, it's real simple. Without God, we cannot. Without man, God will not. Without God, you can't do anything. But without you, God won't do anything. And so he's waiting for you to call and for you to give him permission, as it were, to untie his hands in your life. And we do that as we trust him, as we believe him, as we get in his word and get his word in us. So in Romans 12, there's some keys here. I mean, he talks about some things here that will help us and, with the anxiety issue, with the fear issue, with the doubt issue, with the things that trouble us. Words trouble us. Thoughts trouble us. But you know what? You can turn that around. You can have words that actually strengthen you. What's going on in your brain can drain you. You can have a brain drain. Or what's going on in your brain can strengthen you, depending on what you're meditating on. In fact, you're just a sum of your thoughts, if you want to know the truth. What you're thinking on, what you're meditating on, is either making you miserable or it's giving you strength, depending on what it is that you're thinking on. And the choice to think on the right things is yours. It's that ball is in your court. You can do it. Hallelujah. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can turn your thinking around. You can shut that thing down, that mind, and you can fill it with something good. Mark, thank you for coming. You can turn the thing around, but you're going to have to make a choice. Amen. And what we see here in Romans 12 is really some responsibility and some insight into how to get that job done. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God's not looking for people who will die for him. God is looking for people who will live for him. And he's looking for people who will live holy. Living holy is our reasonable service. Amen. You know, I mean, we need to win souls, we need to pray, we need to worship. You can go right down the list of things, but you need to live holy also. And this is our reasonable service. If we're going to represent this God, we need to live holy because he's holy. We need to love because he loves. Amen? Amen. And he says, this is your reasonable service. This is acceptable to God. Everybody say acceptable. How many of you want to be acceptable? Yes. Three of you. That's good. I'm glad you came tonight. I want to be acceptable to God. The only way I can do this is to live holy and live right. Now, you know, there's a lot of people to please in this world. You can please yourself. You can please your friends. You can please your relatives. But the bottom line is, if you're not pleasing God, you're missing out.
That's right.
Because he's the one we want to please.
Yeah.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Now, see, that's tied together, those two verses, actually. To be holy and to be acceptable, then you have to not be conformed to the world. So really the second verse gives us insight in how to perform, how to do the first verse. And be not conformed to this world, which that would be unacceptable, unholy. Amen. Now how do I not be conformed to the world or be unacceptable or unholy? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew my mind. Woo. Renew. Everybody say renew. Renew is to put something new in there. You know, whatever it is that's causing you the pain, whatever it is that's causing you the turmoil, whatever it is that's causing you to stay awake all night, whatever it is that's causing you the doubt, the unbelief, the fear, it's what's going on in your mind. It's not what's going on out here. It's not what anybody's done. It's what's going on in your head. It's what you're meditating on. Because your mind, your thought life is where the fight is. If you're in turmoil about something, you're not trusting God. If you're tore up about something, you're not thinking on what God says or His promise. You are thinking on something because you've got to think. You can't help but think. I mean, we don't live in a vacuum. Amen? You got to get out the bad things and put in the good things. Start thinking good. You say, well, I just think good thoughts. Think good thoughts. Well, think God thoughts. Think God's Word. Think God's promises. Think what He says. Just quit trying to think of all the scenarios. This is going to get worse. This is going to get... You know, that's what happens. Something happens, and our mind starts spinning, and we say, man, this is going to be worse than this, and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Oh, come on, quit it. Stop that stuff. Start believing God. Start trusting the Lord. Amen? Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, if you want to change your attitude, change your outlook, change your future, change your thinking. Change your thinking, you change your life. We taught on that just Sunday. You can change the outcome. You can change the future. You can change your destiny by what you think about. See, you're just a sum of your thoughts. That's what you really are. You're not this body. You're not what you're wearing. You know, although you may look good on the outside, what's really going on inside is to determine what kind of person you are. Your attitude, your outlook, how you react and how you act toward people. Your thought life governs so much of your life. And God knows that. That's where the real battle is. So He starts out here by saying, don't be like the world. Well, how do I not be like the world? Renew your mind. You know, same old, same old. We keep going back to it. You've got to meditate on the Word. You've got to keep in front of you what God says. I couldn't count the times that I've just gotten God's Word out, whether it's Psalms 23, Psalms 46, Psalms 34, Psalms 37, Psalm 91. Those are all great psalms. In fact, every once in a while, I just read all of them, all 150 of them. They're all good. And just confess those and personalize those and say them out loud. Maybe I'm having a down day. Maybe, you know, all the circumstances are just coming at me 90 to nothing, and I don't feel like I can take another bad report. Or, you know, this week several people passed away. My Aunt Ethel passed away. We got a call from Fred as I'm on the way to the funeral. His father passed away. We found out that same day Jean's sister passed away. And a few days ago, Tiffany Hill's grandmother passed away that she was real close to. You know, and you keep thinking, man, come on, I can't handle this. And your mind's going, they're just dropping like flies. Hello. And that's a lie. Nobody drops like a fly. People step off into glory is what they do. They go to heaven if they know Jesus. Praise God. They get promoted. That's a good thing. To die for a Christian, that's gain for them. Hallelujah. And as far as we're concerned, well, we can only make it with God anyway. We only got 24 hours in a day. You can make it another day. You can make it another hour. You can make it. Hallelujah. But you're going to have to renew your mind. Amen. This word transform really is metamorpho. We get the word metamorphosis, you know. You know, it's to be transformed. You remember those old Transformers, robots in disguise? Remember that? My kids used to watch that. I mean, that was way after my time. But and then they came out with that movie, Transform, which I didn't see. I heard it was really good, the Transformers. I need to go watch it. I'll watch the movie. Transformers, where they transform into all these different things. You know, they look like one thing and then they transform into something else. Well, you know what? I don't know how your life's going, but you can transform into something else. I don't know what's going on in your head. I don't know what's going on in your mind. I don't know what turmoil you may be going through, pain or doubt or unbelief or anxiety or fear, but you can transform. Push a button, whatever you got to do. It's time to transform. How do I do that? Well, renew your mind.
That's right.
I mean, it's like Popeye eating his spinach. Come on, man. Go over, find your spinach. Open it up. Put it in. God's Word. When you get to where you had all you could stand, and you can't stand no more. Hallelujah. Y'all getting it? I'm trying to relate here some way, somehow. Trying to connect here. You got to change what you're thinking. You got to change what you're thinking. That's why you got to meditate on the Word. That's why you got to keep the Bible close up in your head and your mind and your thinking and your talking and your meditation and your thinking about the future. Because we all have plans, we all have dreams, we all have schemes, we all have scams. We're all always thinking about something down the road, something down the road. What's this going to do? How's this going to turn out? What's this going to do to me? Well, get in the Word, amen? Have a great outcome. Have a good outlook. Put on your shades. Your future's so bright, you've got to wear shades when you get in the Word, amen? But you've got to change what you're thinking on. Now, turn over to 2 Corinthians. We'll just sense this thing. I mean, this is, it couldn't be any plainer. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. This is interesting because, you know, remember the CB days where everybody had a CB? And you're about to say 10-4, good buddy, you know. Some of you may not remember that, but this back then, I love this because this was called the Big 10-4. Used to hear sermons on that. You remember that, Frank? You ever heard that? You know, what's the Big 10? The Big 10-4, 2 Corinthians 10-4. That's the Big 10-4, buddy. What's your 10-4? I think it's where were you? Where are you? Or something along the line. That's 10-20, I think. But forget the CBs for a minute. Let's go back to this. 10-4, 2 Corinthians 10-4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God or in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say warfare. Okay, everybody say weapons. Now let's take this apart. Now, most people would think immediately and often hear them use this verse concerning prayer. This is not talking about prayer. Uh-oh. Not to say that's not a time of warfare and standing on the Word and so on and so forth, but this specific context of this verse is not talking about prayer. It's talking about your thought life. It's talking about what you are thinking on. And so what's going on in your head, I can tell you what's going on in your head, according to God's Word. There's a battle going on in your head. There's a battle going on in your mind. There's a battle going on for your soul. And it's going on in what you think about and what you meditate on. And if you meditate on the wrong thoughts and you spend time thinking on the negative and you spend time thinking on defeat and even get into sin, we'll talk about bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and those things, you're going to lose the battle. But here's good news. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. Strongholds. Those strongholds are not spirits over cities. We often hear that teaching. I've heard people talk about praying spirits down over cities. And if you do that, I love you and God loves you and you can believe that and still go to heaven. Just when you get to heaven, you'll find out that you're wrong and I'm right about this. But stay with me. When it says pulling down strongholds here, he's talking about the strongholds that are in your mind. The thoughts that have taken up post and guard in your mind. And you have thoughts, and I have thoughts sometimes that are just almost sacred and holy. We can't root them out. Maybe it's a thought that we're never going to be any good, that we're never going to make it, or that God doesn't really love us, or we're not going to get that healing. Hello, or I can't serve God, or maybe it's bitterness that's in there. It's a stronghold, and the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, next verse, casting down imaginations or reasoning or logic or thoughts. Wow. Are you with me?
Yes. It's good.
Now, I'm not, prayer's another subject. That's a wonderful subject. And we can talk about spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of this world, and all those things that Ephesians 6 chapter talks about. But here, we're talking about this verse right here. In context, this verse is talking about your thought life. And there is a battle going on in your thought life. Just to remind you, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes you've got a stronghold in your head. A fear in your head that's just taken up residence there, and you need to pull it down. Let's read it again. Fifth verse. Casting down, now that's connected in fourth and fifth verse, the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, reasonings, I believe King James says imaginations, but really that's not a good translation. It's logismos. We get the word logic from that, or reasoning is where that, what that word means. Reason or arguments. Casting down arguments and every high thing, listen closely, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Whatever's telling you that you can't have what God says you can have. Whatever's telling you that God's word's not true. Whatever's telling you that God's destiny for you is not going to happen. Whatever is saying it's true instead of what God says is true is taking up a position. In fact, that word where it says exalt, that's a position to pose itself there, to stand there at that post and take the place of God's word. I'll never have any peace. Take his position up against, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee. Now what you got to do, you got to root that out. You got to pull that down.
Good.
Hello? How do you do that? You got to put God's word in there. Amen. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal thoughts. They're not defeat thoughts. They're not going under thoughts. They're God's word. And they are mighty. We don't put enough credibility on God's word. We don't think about the power of God's word enough. We don't really realize that if we will put it in our head, if we'll meditate on what God says, it will root out, tear down, and destroy those strongholds that have kept us from being what God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do and having what God wants us to have. But we're going to have to renew our mind to get this thing done. We're going to have to transformers. We're going to have to transform into Bible man, faith man. Are you with me?
Amen.
We're going to make a shift. We're going to make a change. We're going to have to switch, do whatever we got to do to transform. Get out of fearful man into faith man.
Yes, amen.
Get out of doubt man into believe man.
Yes.
Get out of hate man into love man.
Yes. Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
I just can't shake this thing. I got this strong. Well, first of all, you got to quit saying it. You can shake this thing. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I just can't get rid of this. I can't. No, yes, you can. You can. But you can't do it by yourself. You can through God. You can do this. You can't do it in the natural. You can't do it in the flesh because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Man, that's powerful. I just love that. Bringing into captivity and bringing into captivity every thought. Everybody say every thought. Every thought. You can lasso that thought. You can run that thing down. You can saddle up your horse. And you can lasso that thought. And you can capture that thought and reel it in. Cast it down. This is better preaching. Y'all already mean it. Cast down imaginations, high things, thoughts, reasonings, arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Whatever says you can't do what God says you can do. Whatever says you can't have what God says you can have. Whatever says you are not what God says you are. There's a battle going on. Don't lay down your weapons. Don't lay down your weapons. What's my weapons? God's word. You got to pick it up and you got to think it. You got to meditate on it. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he's meditating on the word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Woo! Don't fight that battle by yourself. You can't. You can't win it by yourself. You can fight it with God's word and win it. Don't fight it with carnal weapons. If you want to know the truth, the devil's coming at you. He's coming at you with arrows and darts and spears. And God's got AK-47s over here. He really does. You try to fight, you know, with a wood sword or something, and the sword of the Lord, a two-edged sword. He's got the greatest weapons. He's got the most efficient, the most up-to-date, the most powerful, mighty through God weapons to get your thinking straight, to get your life straight. Amen? And to get you transformed that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in your life. God wants you to experience it. He wants you to see your destiny. He wants you to fulfill your destiny, to fulfill His will in your life. But it's going to come. It's going to start. Maybe it doesn't end with your thoughts, but it does definitely start with your thoughts. It's got to translate into words. It's got to translate into action. Then it'll translate into changed lives. But if you back it up, it starts with thoughts. Every garden starts with seeds. Maybe you see this big, huge garden, or you see these huge trees even. They started with seeds. Someone had to plant them. Someone had to water them. Someone had to nurture them. Someone had to make sure nobody stole them or dug them up. Hello. And that's the way we've got to be with God's Word. We've got to nurture it. We've got to meditate on it. We've got to guard it. We've got to keep it in the forefront of our mind and our thinking. Are you with me? And then they will produce little by little because God's words are seeds. And they'll bring a good outcome. We're going to go through battles. Of course we are. It's a warfare. He says it right there. There are strongholds sometimes in our mind. He told us right there are. But He told us how to pull them down. Amen. The weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Listen, cast that thing down. You can't help thoughts coming, but you can help what you think on. I just can't help a thought. Well, no, whoa. I know the thoughts are going to come. As long as you live, thoughts are going to come. Thoughts of evil. But see, the more you meditate on them, if they're bad, they'll drain you. Some thoughts just take away. They rob you. They rob you of your strength and of your peace. They get you in turmoil. And what you have to do, you have to cast those down. But you don't just cast them down and not think anything. You have to cast them down with the truth. Amen? I mean, you can't be in anxiety or doubt about something that you're really trusting God about. How could you be worried about something you're trusting God about? You can't hate somebody you're praying for. How can you do that? If you're really praying for them and doing what God says, it'll root out and tear down and throw down that stronghold in your mind. Turn over to Proverbs 16. Is this helping you? The battle's in the mind. Proverbs. Now, I'm not talking about mind over matter. You understand the context of this. These are scriptures we're reading right out of the Bible. We're talking about God's word over the wrong words, the wrong thoughts, doubt and unbelief, fear and all those things, anxiety. Don't let the devil steal your destiny. Don't let the devil rob you of God's will. Because that's really what's going on. And it never stops with you. It always affects everybody else. I mean, if you never fulfill your destiny, and if you don't have joy, you know what? You're going to make everybody else miserable. Hello. It affects everybody. So you need to stay up for everybody else. You need to win so other people can see they can win. Proverbs 16. Third verse. I love this verse. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Y'all get it? How am I going to get my thought? Man, I'm just having so much trouble with my thoughts, my mind. You know, I can't shut it off. You ever had that trouble? Well, you probably need to cut down the coffee a little bit. That'll help. But that's another story altogether. Sometimes you're just too hyped up on that caffeine. I love that story about that guy went in that psychiatrist's office, that cup of coffee, and he says, Doc, I got a problem. I got a problem. The doc says, yeah, I can tell you one thing. You drink way too much coffee. He said, no, I spill most of it. But whatever the case, I can tell you one reason your mind's spinning. I can tell you one reason your thoughts are chaotic and draining. And I think about this. Thoughts are made to encourage and to build up. In fact, that's what Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So what we say, our words should encourage and build up and minister grace. And thoughts should do the same thing. Thoughts are powerful things, but here's the deal. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21 tells us. So thoughts have that same power because words are just thoughts spoken. That's all they are. So what you think on can rob you, can drain you, can destroy you and kill you, or what you think on can build you up. And if you want to get that chaotic thinking, that robbing thinking, that stronghold, that battle that's roaring in your mind, get a grip on it, then commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. How do I commit my works to the Lord? Well, start saying what He says. Find out what does His promise say about this situation? What does God's Word say about this? When you think you're a nobody, just remember this. Jesus died for you. What does the prophet man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? God puts more value on your soul than the whole world. Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love, is what God says. You and count, you're important. I don't care what anybody says or what you even think about yourself. When you look in that mirror, know this, God loves you. You are the apple of His eye. He's got your picture tattooed on the palm of His hands. That's what the Bible says. You want me to read this out of... got to get my cheaters on, read Amplified. Proverbs 16:3 out of the Amplified. It's just a little louder. It says, roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Wow. I like that. That's good. I've got to read that one more time. Y'all hold on. Here it comes. Roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so your plans will be established and succeed. Oh, that's good. That is great. Hallelujah. So we're not talking about, let's just stop thinking negative. No, you got to think positive. You can't just stop thinking. You don't live in a vacuum. You have to start thinking what God says. Now, that's impossible if you don't know what He says. Are you with me? That's impossible if you're not in the Word, if you're not looking at the Word, you're not reading the Word. You're at the mercy of the world, and the world has no mercy. You're at the mercy of the way you were brought up or raised or whatever the case may be. Hopefully you're raised right. But sometimes just the environment we're in, the people we're around, we don't always hear the Word all the time. Hello. I think it behooves us to use an archaic, antiquated word. The onus is on us. I think that we ought to be cautious what we say around people because what we're saying is either lifting them up or tearing them down. Even just greeting, you know, how are you doing? Well, not too good. All of a sudden, now there's just a weight comes on when that's said. Now, if you're saying, pray for me, I believe God can get me out of this thing, help me, you know, let's agree together, that's different. But, you know what, Glenn Henderson called the office today and Amanda answered the phone and said, hey, how are you doing? She's hello, Glenn, how are you doing? He says, if it's any better, it had to be twins. Well, that's the way to talk. I mean, come on. He said, hey, it's going great. Just going wonderful. And I say, I'm blessed, can't be cursed, you know. Something along those lines. Okay, turn with me to Isaiah 55. Thought life. Everybody say thoughts. My goodness, thoughts are powerful things. Powerful things. Well, I was just thinking. Yeah. You hope you were thinking the Word. You know, I had a thought. Y'all remember that commercial? I shared this the other day. It was an Indian guy. You know, he's driving down the road. He's a computer guy, and they gave his name, and he was saying, he said, I'm just thinking all the time. He says, I just had another thought. Oh, there goes another one. Here I am thinking again. You know, you're always thinking. The point of that really was pretty plain. We all think. Amen? And we're thinking all the time. We're thinking about our future. We're thinking about our job. We're thinking about our marriage. We're thinking about our kids. We're thinking about church. We're always thinking something. And the question is, what are you thinking about those things? What kind of thoughts do you have? Are they in line with God's Word? Have you committed those things to the Lord? Because if you hadn't, more than likely those thoughts are draining you and robbing your strength and your peace and probably causing you some pain. Hello? Anybody had that happen? Come on. I mean, I want to tell you, if you live in this life, that's going to happen. What you have to do is recognize it and say, oh, you know what? I got to go another direction here. There's a stronghold building up here. There's a battle going on. I'm not going to lay down my weapons and let the devil take me over here. I'm going to get the word and drive that out. I'm going to cast that thing down. Everybody say pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments. Captivating thoughts. That's a battle. Listen, that's a war. And it's constant. It's going on all the time. Question is, how many times have you stopped and cast down thoughts? How many times have you stopped and pulled down some strongholds? How many times have you stopped and captivated your thoughts? Or have you been captivated by your thoughts? Most of us are captured by our thoughts. And we ought to be capturing our thoughts. Most of us are drained by our brain. And we ought to be strengthened by what we meditate on. Amen? Isaiah 55. I'll wrap this up sometime tonight. Isaiah 55. These are familiar verses. In fact, I don't think I've gone over anything tonight that was not unfamiliar, shouldn't be, as a Christian, as a believer, you heard them. It's just what I do as a pastor is connect the dots. That's all. When sermons come, you know, sermons, if they're from God, they connect dots. They connect scriptures. You've heard this scripture. You've heard that scripture. And you've heard it preached another time in another way. But there's always different angles that we can go with it. Amen? And so we're just connecting some dots. Tonight we're talking about thinking. We're talking about the battle of your mind. And you cannot check out of this battle. You cannot afford to check out of this battle. If you do, we all lose. You don't just lose, we lose you. We lose your benefit. We lose your help. We lose your strengths. We lose your talents. We lose your gifts. So we got to lock arms here. We're in a battle. There's a battle going. We're soldiers of the Lord. We got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're the army of God. And, you know, it doesn't take a lot of snap to figure out there's a war going on. If you watch the news and you see what's going on in this life, there is a battle going on for the soul of our nation, the soul of our world. And we've got to be that light. We've got to be the one that stands up and is counted and says the right thing, believes the right thing, thinks the right thing. Isaiah 55. Sixth verse. You know this verse. You've heard this over. I've preached on this other times. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Hello? I think we just read through that and don't even catch that. Don't the impact of it doesn't. And when you preach a message like this, we're just hammering it over and over, thought life, thought life, thought life. All of a sudden, now this jumps at us. That wicked people have got to forsake their thoughts. Now catch that. That speaks to us. Because although we're Christians and believers, we can think wickedly. You ever had a wicked thought? Okay, I'm really not looking for a show of hands. But if you ever had a wicked thought, you know what I'm talking about. A wicked thought towards somebody. A wicked thought towards something. A wicked thought about something, you know. Come on. You know what God's telling us? You've got to forsake those thoughts. Not just your ways. You got to forsake those thoughts. Well, I'm not doing this, and I'm not killing anybody, and I'm not doing that. But what are you thinking? Now, I don't know what you're thinking. You know, that's just between you and God. I mean, you don't know what I'm thinking. But I know one thing. If it's wicked, I need to forsake it. Amen? Amen. I know that's a battle. There's a battle going on. That will translate into words, and that'll translate into deeds, and that'll change my life in a bad way. And if I get God's Word in there and meditate on God's Word, it'll change my life in a good way. Instead of taking away from me, it'll build me up, praise God. It'll strengthen me, and it'll cause me to be a help instead of a hindrance. But notice the importance he puts on this. I mean, we often talk about action. Obviously, we need to quit sinning. We need to quit doing bad deeds, stealing, killing, destroying, all those things, lying, and whatever it is else we're doing. But he also says here, forsake your thoughts. Woo! We kind of think that's a private thing. Well, it is in one sense. It's between you and God, but it's God's aware of it. I can guarantee you this, if you are aware of what you're thinking, God's sure aware of it. and God will help you. That's the good news. Amen.
Amen.
If he says forsake it, let me tell you something. You can forsake it. Getting quiet in this Pentecostal church. If he says you can forsake it, you can forsake it. New Testament, if he says you can cast it down, you can cast it down. If he says you can pull that stronghold down, you can pull it down. If he says you can captivate your thought, you can captivate your thoughts. Amen? How? By replacing it with God's Word. Let's go on a little further. Seventh verse says, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Let's talk to your mind a minute. You remember those commercials years ago, the mind's a terrible thing to waste. Let's grab a hold of your mind a minute. What I do with my mind, let it return to the Lord. Y'all getting it?
Yeah.
Let your mind return to the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah, but this is going on. Whoa. Let your mind return to the Lord. Put that thing in reverse. Back up. And let's go back to God here. What does God say? I remember someone came to my office years ago. They got a bit real bad report and handed a piece of paper. Showing me the piece of paper. Came knocking on my door. First of all, bothered me because I was praying, getting ready for the service. And I'd actually come down early that night. I was the only one here. I was in my office, ready for a service. And someone has the audacity to interrupt the preacher. Beating on the door. I'm not talking knocking. They were beating on, frantic. I opened the door and they hand me this piece of paper. They just got this piece of paper. It's about a job situation. And it was not good. I mean, I think they were suing them. I can't remember what all. And they're saying this. And they're saying this. And look at this. And look at that. And look at this. And I walked to my office with it. Laid it on my desk. Took my little notepads. And I wrote down this scripture. Put it on there. Wrote another one. She was just still going, look at that. And they said this, and they said this. And I said, I took another one, put it on there. No weapon formed against me prosper. Every tongue rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, says the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. Stuck that down there, you know. And I had scripture after scripture. And she finally stopped. And I turned around and I said, now look at this. I was a little mad. But I turned it into righteous indignation. Hello, I did. I thought, well, I'm just going to, you know, I know I'm a little upset here, but you know what I'm upset? I'm upset with the devil. That's who I'm mad at here. I'm mad at what the devil's doing to her. I'm mad at the way her mind's going around. And I turned it completely, I turned around and I just put my finger, I said, now look at that. And look at this. And look at that. And I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes and she got it. She stopped all that chaotic thinking, calmed down. We believed God. We trusted God. You know what? She got her job back. She did. She got her job back. It was just amazing. They dropped all that stuff they said they were going to do, and it was really traumatic. I mean, she had the letter in her hand. Look at this. Well, when the devil tries to get you to look at this, you look at God's Word. In fact, tell the devil, come over here, you look at this. Tells you to read something, you tell him to read this. Okay. You got to return to the Lord. Amen? In your mind, you have to return. You have to forsake those thoughts that are wicked. And wicked thoughts are real simple. Any thought that's contrary to God's Word is a wicked thought. Any thought that says God's Word is not true is a wicked thought. It's trying to take up position and exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Now, I'm talking about this is going on in your head. You're thinking these things. Stop it. Stop it. Stop that kind of thinking. That's just going to cause pain. It's going to cause misery. It's going to drain you. It's going to make you ineffective. It's going to ruin your life. Stop that stuff. Cause your blood pressure to go up. No reflection on what you came to be prayed for. But you know how doctors know stress can tell you. Stress can do those things. In fact, I remember when I was having trouble with some blood pressure, that's the first thing the doctor asked me, are you under any kind of stress? And I said, not that I know of, Doc. I'm not under any stress at all. But, I mean, that's the first thing he asked because he deals with that. I mean, you know. Of course, I got over all that. Praise God, blood pressure's fine. But, okay, let's finish this out. Eighth verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. So, in other words, God's saying, you know, God doesn't think that way. What are you doing thinking that way? Hello? Don't misinterpret this verse or misapply this verse. I've heard this verse said over and over and over. You never know what the Lord will do. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His not ways are not our ways. Yes, I'm on. He's talking about wicked. God's not wicked. God's not unrighteous. He's not saying he's not saying that we can't think his thoughts or walk in his ways. In fact, the whole Bible is about you thinking his thoughts and walking in his ways. That's what the whole word's about. So when he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, he's saying, my thoughts are not your wicked thoughts and my ways are not your unrighteous ways. In other words, quit doing that and start doing my way and thinking my thoughts. Contrary to him saying we don't know what's going on concerning God and never can know him, on the contrary to a la contraire, it's exactly what he is saying is we should be thinking his thoughts and we should be walking in his ways. Amen. And he explains it very plainly. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, wicked, nor are my ways your ways, unrighteous. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, unrighteous, and my thoughts than your thoughts, wicked. God's thoughts are so much higher than wicked thoughts. His ways are so much higher than unrighteous ways that there's no comparison. You know why? Because they are mighty. God's word is mighty. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Amen. God's word will drive out those thoughts in your life. Woo! Yes. It'll drive it out. Amen? Amen? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts, wicked, unrighteous. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Here's God's thoughts right here. God's word. And whereas before it was a desert and a wilderness of pain and agony and draining and taking your strength and your joy away, wicked, unrighteous thoughts, God's word will come down and cause flowers to bloom in the desert of your life. It'll cause your ground to produce. It'll cause joy to come, peace to come. The water of God's word will drive out the dry desert of those thoughts and that pain and that emptiness and that vacuum, that shell of a person that you feel like you were or are because of wrong thinking can turn around, and the water of God's word can cause fruit and productivity in your life. But it starts with you thinking the right thoughts. Amen. Brother Osteen years ago taught a series. In fact, about the time we started going to Lakewood in 1975, 76, and it was a series called Thinking the Thoughts of God. And of course, he just took it. He ran. Brother Osteen would teach series for months. I mean, he'd go weeks, sometimes months on it. I think it was 26 weeks. He just talked forever on it, you know. But he'd go, Thinking the Thoughts of God, and he'd do it like this. What does God think about salvation? And then he'd teach on that for a few weeks. What does God think about healing? He'd teach on that for a few weeks. And what he was saying, replace your thoughts with his thoughts. Start thinking the thoughts of God. You know, he'll take a series and just run wild with it. Or he did. He might still be teaching up in heaven. I don't know. So, what do we need to do here? We need to get his word in our head. Amen? We need to forsake those wicked thoughts and replace them with God's thoughts. We need not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to pull down those strongholds, cast down those imaginations, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen? Amen? And of course, what's the result of that? Well, goodness gracious, 12, 13, verse. You will go out with joy, be led forth with peace. Instead of pain and anguish and agony and fretfulness and worry and weakening, you'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isn't it amazing? You can just think on certain things and it brings joy. You know, it makes you laugh sometimes. I think about Aunt Ethel, you know, at her funeral today, I was thinking of different things about Aunt Ethel. And it just, I just got tickled thinking about her. I remember we went out to California about 10 years ago. I was preaching in Oregon. Brent and I flew out to Oregon, and Gary and Pat were pastoring out there. And we fixed the ticket. We just went down to see her in California for about 3 or 4 days. And so I got there, and my Aunt Ethel was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. I mean, she was, you know, Democrat raised, Democrat bred, Democrat living, Democrat. She died Democrat. She did. Now, stay with me. I mean, unreasonable. I'm not advocating one party or other, but in her sense, it didn't have anything to do with issues. It was just Democrat. Okay, that's what she was. And so she wanted to get a picture of me with her in front of her house to show all of her lady friends because she thought I looked like Bill Clinton. And she loved Bill Clinton. And at the funeral, my uncle came up to me. They had gone and got those photo albums out and took those pictures out and gave them to me, gave them back to me. I thought about that. And just the thought, now the point I'm making here, just the thought of that made me laugh. That's the power of what you think on, see. And here he's talking about joy and peace, and you know where it all comes from? It comes from what you're meditating on. If you don't have joy and you don't have peace, you know what? You need to start thinking on something else. You are thinking on the wrong thing. You're letting something dominate and become a stronghold in your mind, and it is robbing you. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So forsake that thought. Amen? Cast it down. Pull it down. Root it out. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? We can do it. Amen? We can win this battle. In fact, we've already won it, really. We won it through Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us.